Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Amen. May the Lord bless this short reading to us. Let me repeat the central message of our gospel and the heart of our faith in this next comment. It is this: the Lord Jesus Christ, by his obedience and death, has satisfied every demand of God for his people. And by giving his life for theirs, he redeemed the people that he loved and has secured their salvation in time and for eternity. And these great truths, these facts, are our enduring gospel themes. They are the essence of our hope in this life and for the life hereafter. That Christ was the worthy sacrifice who died in our place and stead, and that we have life in him. Now, we say a lot. We use a lot of words. Well, I do anyway. Trying to convey this message, to communicate, and in some small way perhaps, to educate men and women and boys and girls concerning what the Bible teaches regarding the Lord Jesus Christ and his obedience and his death. We preach Christ the way. We preach Christ the truth. We preach Christ the life. And most of us here have heard thousands of sermons, maybe 10,000 sermons. And that's a lot of time and a lot of words. But in the end, it comes down to just this: salvation is of the Lord, and it is all of grace. The work of Christ is in itself sufficient for the redemption of sinners and for the justification of the elect. And this is what the Apostle Paul is endeavouring to convey to the Galatians here in this letter. Troublemakers in Galatia, the Judaizers, as we call them, were preaching Christ and circumcision. Now, we spoke about this last time, how that circumcision was a kind of shorthand for Christ and the obligations of the law, or Christ and the obligations of Jewish tradition. And I'm sure that if the Judaizers in the churches in Galatia had been confronted with their error, with their teaching and its implications, they would deny that they were against Christ. But Paul shows that is effectively what they were teaching. And let me just bring that, if I can, into a more modern sphere, modern application. Today, some will say Christ and duty, or Christ and good works, or Christ and church membership, or Christ and baptism, or Christ and personal commitment. And actually, just about every church has its rules and its laws and its requirements. And doubtless they too would insist that these were not for salvation. And yet, to be in their church in some way or another, you have to show yourself worthy by satisfying the conditions that they impose. And of course, once in, they have ways to discipline those that don't keep up with their expectations and their standards. But Paul's burden here for the Galatians was that they had become disconnected from the purity and the simplicity of the gospel message. And we can only assume that the reason for the Holy Spirit leaving this book, initiating, originating, inspiring, and leaving this book in Holy Scripture is because it is a lesson that we need to be reminded of throughout the history and experience of the apostolic church. The gospel that Paul had preached among them, which they had embraced, which they had believed, which they had understood, now seemed to be slipping out of their grasp. And the Apostle Paul, knowing that the injection of any element of human contribution, any kind of human involvement in the work of salvation will pollute it and ultimately destroy the liberty of free grace, he is fighting in this letter to win them back to the truth. He knows that works righteousness will detract from the sufficiency of Christ. He knows that it will. He knows that works righteousness will elevate man in his own eyes. He knows that it will be a source of pride. He knows that it will be a way for one group to judge another group and one person to think that he is better than another. And Paul knows that sooner or later, when works get added to grace, Christ gets diminished and man gets promoted. And when that happens, Christ becomes of no effect. Christ becomes of no value to us. Men and women begin to imagine that it's not his death that is effectual to save, but their own efforts and their own contributions. And we fall from the true gospel and from all legitimate profession of trusting in the sufficiency of Christ to save. So Paul says, "Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." If we begin to introduce any form of human contribution and involvement into our acceptance with God, we can no longer testify of grace because the two are incompatible and exclusive. Paul says in Romans 11 and 6, 11 verse 6, "If by grace, then it is no more of works. If it be of works, then it is no more grace." And many of the free will and duty faith and legally bound churches of our day are where the Galatians were. They talk, they make a profession of grace, maybe on the back of some historical confession of faith or some heritage and history that they have in the past. They talk about grace to an extent, but it is tied in with so much else. The phrase that Paul uses here, "fallen from grace," it doesn't mean that they once had grace and now they don't have it. It either means that having professed grace, they've now gone back to rely on their own works without realizing what they're doing. And this is possibly the nature of the way these Judaizers had having infiltrated the churches, influenced the believers. They had said, now you've started off well, now you need to move into something deeper, you need to move into something more involved. And that's often the way these things happen. And we lose the simplicity of the gospel and the work of Christ. Or else maybe these Galatians have genuinely changed their doctrine. They've cast their lot in with these false teachers. In which case, Paul is waiting to see whether they were in fact false professors all along. True believers cannot lose their salvation, and they cannot actually fall from grace, though they may for a time be confused in their doctrine and have, like these Galatians, to be recovered by the apostle's rebuke. In verse 5, the apostle says, "We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Paul is confirming here that those who are truly saved by the Holy Ghost's calling and quickening, they hold fast and they persevere in the hope or the confidence of righteousness and justification by faith. And this is what he's been preaching all along. It's what he preached in the churches in Galatia. It's what he has been recording in this letter in his approach to them on the his awareness of the rise of the problems that they're having. This is always his ministry. We seek our righteousness in Christ. That is what he is saying. We seek our righteousness in Christ. We wait and we trust upon the promise of God for all our acceptance. Who's the we that he's talking about? Well, he's talking about himself. He's talking about Barnabas. He's talking about Timothy. He's talking about the other apostles. He's talking about the Jews who were converted and brought into a knowledge of the truth by the gospel of Jesus Christ. They knew that the Old Testament law was for its time. It had its place. It had its symbolism, it had its significance, it had its purposes. But now their eye had to be on the sufficiency of Christ. And those Jews who had been truly converted, faithful Jews, did not look back to the law for righteousness. And neither should the Galatians, despite what these Judaizers were offering them. Our righteousness is God's gift by promise because of Christ's sacrifice and death. This we believe, this we receive and hold fast by faith. And many who claim faith today err here as well by imagining that it is their faith that gains righteousness with God, as if God's pleased that they've trusted in him. And as a result of their trust, he gives them the blessings and the benefits of salvation, as though faith in some way merits God's pleasure. So let's not get this wrong either. Righteousness is God's promise to his elect people whom he has loved from eternity. And we enjoy the benefits of his grace and his goodness by faith. That is the vehicle, that is the channel, that is the medium by which all God's grace and goodness is experienced by us. And something else, let's not be confused by the word hope as though it means something uncertain. That's kind of how we use it today in normal language. But a believer's hope is sure and sound because our hope is in Christ, who is faithful and true. In fact, Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophets, come to our rescue once again. Jeremiah, just as Isaiah has been doing for some months now, Jeremiah calls the Lord Jesus Christ the hope of Israel and the Saviour thereof. Our hope will only fail when Christ fails. The hope of the elect of God and the hope of the faithful is Christ himself. So when we think of Christ, we think of his divinity, we think of his omnipotence, we think of his omniscience, we think of his love, his sovereignty. We think of the faithfulness of God in Christ. And this is what gives the church the only well-grounded confidence that we shall ever require. Can you imagine having to hope in our own ability to maintain a sufficiently good standard of life in order to earn heaven? That would be hopeless. We would be up and down like a yo-yo on a string. We would have confidence one day and no confidence the next day. Within the space of a few minutes, we could go from a mountaintop experience to a rock bottom experience just because of the vagaries of the circumstances of the situation that we were in. But our hope is in Christ, who does not change. And we would be foolish to hope in our own strength. Hope is for future glory based upon the promises of Christ. We are sure and confident that we are going to heaven, not because it is a present reality for us, not because we've been there and we've seen it with our own eyes, or we've got some physical, tangible evidence given to us, but because we trust the God who has promised, who has spoken and who cannot lie. Christ was raised again for our justification. We are accepted by God and we hope in the promises that he has made. Paul tells the Romans in Romans 5 verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. We will not be ashamed at the hope and the confidence that we have in Christ. We will not get to the end of our life and be disappointed. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. We have this testimony. We have this witness. It is founded in and upon Christ, because Christ is formed in the heart and it is by his promise. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And let me just take time to touch on verse 6. In Jesus Christ, says the apostle, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. And again, we're talking here about this circumcision, just as Isaiah used Sabbath observance, so here circumcision is shorthand for the whole of the law. Faith, which worketh by love. That is what avails. Faith, which worketh by love. And this is what Paul has been emphasizing and what we endeavor to stress in our own preaching. Works of any kind do nothing for those who are God's elect, who are in Christ by divine fiat, who are redeemed by blood and quickened by the Spirit. All our righteousness, all our justification, every blessing and every grace is ours freely by the unconditional grace of God, and gifted and granted and given to us out of his love. God's love for his people. God's love gives to us all the blessings that he has in store. All the good and perfect gifts are given for his own name's sake. Not because of what we do or what we don't do. Not for our obedience or our lack of obedience. Not for our good, our bad, or our indifference. It is God for his own name's sake that does good to his people. And the only thing needed to enjoy the blessings of God is faith. And even faith is his gift and is in no sense meritorious to gain what it enjoys. We are saved by grace. We enjoy it by faith. And it couldn't be any simpler than that. The Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the whole of God's law. He died substitutionally and effectually for us, and having given us faith through the preaching of that very gospel message, we are able to rest in Christ, enjoy the peace he gives, for his yoke is light and the hope of glory he has given to us. And what's this got to do with love? When we have faith, we love the Lord who first loved us. We love the gospel, which reveals our happy condition. We love the brethren who are Christ's blood-bought people with us. We love the evidences of grace in our lives and the opportunities that are given to us to return thanks to the Lord for the great things that he has done, the great things that he is doing, and the great things that he yet shall do for us. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us today. Amen.
Thank you, God.